Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday, December 19th. The United States House of Representatives has voted to impeach President Donald Trump in a vote that fell largely along party lines. Local representatives, including District 3 Representative Scott Tipton, called it a sham. For the Rocky Mountain Community Radio Exchange, KRCC's Andrea Chalfin has this story.
Southern Colorado's three representatives, all Republicans, voted against impeachment, saying the Democrats have been trying to impeach the president since the day he was elected. Scott Tipton, who represents the Western Slope, but also portions of Southern Colorado, tweeted his address to the House.
The theatrics, political posturing have ensured that this body is not actually pursuing to preserve checks and balances. Rather, this process echoes the calls by some that refuse to accept the 2016 election results.
In a statement, Republican Congressman Doug Lamborn of Colorado Springs said there was no obstruction of Congress, nor did the president abuse his power. Lamborn also said that he expects a fair trial in the Senate, led by Republican Mitch McConnell. Congressman Ken Buck said Democrats have lowered the standards for impeachment. I'm Andrea Chalfin.
And in a follow-up to that story, this is from the Denver Post. After a day of debate presided over by a Denver Democrat, she and three other Coloradans joined the U.S. House majority in impeaching Donald John Trump, the 45th President of the United States. Denver Representative Diana DeGette presided over a day of polite debate between Democrats and Republicans, followed by an evening of boos, hisses, cheers, and highly partisan votes. She rarely raised her voice as she maintained order among 435 politicians, debating and casting some of the most historic votes of their careers. The president was impeached for two high crimes and misdemeanors: abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. The first related to the president's withholding military aid to Ukraine in an effort to pressure the Eastern European ally into investigating the family of Joe Biden, a top electoral rival to Trump. The second charge related to the executive branch's refusal to abide by subpoenas in the impeachment inquiry. The vote on the abuse of power article of impeachment was 230-197-1, largely along party lines. The vote on the obstruction of Congress article was 229-198-1, also along party lines. Colorado's four House Democrats, DeGette, Joe Neguse, Jason Crow, and Ed Perlmutter, cast their votes for both articles of impeachment. And as we just heard from KRCC, Colorado's three House Republicans, Representatives Ken Buck, Scott Tipton, and Doug Lamborn, cast their votes against both articles of impeachment. The impeachment process now moves to the Senate for a trial early next year. Colorado is represented there by Michael Bennett, a Denver Democrat running for president, and Cory Gardner, a Yuma Republican, who will face a tough re-election fight in November of 2020. Bennett has said he will likely vote to convict the president. Gardner has been critical of the impeachment process, but he hasn't said how he will vote, citing his role as an impartial juror in the case. From the Colorado News Connection, this week's United States Supreme Court decision not to hear a major homeless case puts a spotlight on Denver's controversial camping ban. Eric Galatis has more.
The decision upholds a federal appeals court ruling that a similar law in Boise, Idaho, violated the Constitution's Eighth Amendment ban on cruel and unusual punishment. Therese Howard with the group Denver Homeless Out Loud hopes city officials will reconsider its ordinance in light of the court's decision.
Our city government should hear that and should respond by saying, oh, we have an unconstitutional law on our books. We need to reverse that.
The Denver City Attorney's Office told the Denver Post no changes are planned for the ordinance and said the law is carefully and thoughtfully enforced. In the Boise case, the city argued that banning people from sleeping outside in tents or other shelters is necessary to maintain the health and safety of their communities. Howard says cities across the U.S. have used health and safety claims to justify camping bans, but she says the reality for people experiencing homelessness is the exact opposite.
criminalizing folks, moving folks along, puts people's health and safety at risk. There are ways to address health and safety needs, like sanitation, porta potties, hand washing. That's not what they do.
In May, Denver residents voted against an initiative to overturn the camping ban after a well-financed opposition campaign promised that the city could do better. Howard believes the federal government also has a role to play and points to the recently introduced Homes for All Act.
That would actually invest around 12 million new housing units, and that's the first time since the 1930s any bill has been introduced that even comes close to creating public housing in accordance with the need.
This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
And finally today, this is a story from the Delta County Independent. Delta County Schools received a clean bill of health following their annual audit. The news was announced during the district's regular school board meeting, December 12th. The auditors reported that the district is in a strong position on a year-to-year basis. The district's BEST grant has approximately $2 million in the account. BEST stands for Building Excellent Schools Today, and the money for those grants comes from, among other sources, excise taxes collected on the sale of marijuana. Delta County School District federal dollars went from $4 million to $4.3 million. Final budgeted revenues for the general fund were $38.7 million, more than $5 million more than the previous year. The Technical School of the Rockies, operated by the school district, saw its federal grants increase to about $1.1 million in the last year. The trade school's assets went up to $1.2 million and its liabilities went down. As part of its year-end duties, the board unanimously passed Resolution 2019-32, certifying the school's mill levy on residential and business properties at 22.656 per state mandate. Approximately 75% of school funding depends on the state tax revenue. At the county level, the projected property tax revenue from Montrose, Delta, Mesa, and Gunnison counties is expected to be $8.7 million and will go towards the district's $40 million operating budget. Also, board members unanimously approved a bid for a new bus, with a new route slated to begin in the spring. With the upcoming holidays, the board unanimously approved a seasonal bonus for staff. Officials decided that the district had enough reserves to warrant bonuses at this time. Full-time staff will receive a $200 bonus, and part-time staff will receive a $100 holiday bonus. And that was your KVNF Regional Newscast for Thursday, December 19th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.